Today's scripture is Galatians 5, 22 to 26. I'm reading from the New International Version. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, for the last number of weeks, we've been reflecting on this phrase, consuming Jesus. Another word might be abiding in Jesus, looking to Jesus. Today we see walking in Jesus. So to be reminded that we are to journey with him in us and beside us and be very conscious of that. So Jesus talks about that in the Upper Room Discourse in terms of abiding, abide in me. And the Spirit is given to us so that we might indeed know the presence of Christ on a daily basis. That's quite amazing. So, thank you for coming. Thank you for being here on this lovely day. And trust that through the service you'll receive something that might speak to your service, or to your heart, sorry. Here's a quote from Jacques Ellul, which I like because he gets at something which is challenging. The glorious liberty of the children of God is not the happy fluttering of a butterfly from one attractive flower to another. It is joyous, but it is also radical, hard, and absolute. Giving us our burden, Galatians 6:1, next week, carry each other's burdens. Giving us our burden, God launches us into an unsuspected adventure. Conflict, which is finally that of freedom. So Ellul is a Christian philosopher, theologian that made a big contribution in many ways. That middle line, it is joyous, but it is also radical, hard, and absolute. We hear that kind of message when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Yes, we know the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And it has that lightness of being in that sense. But it is also a journey that is radical, hard, and absolute. It is something that is there for us to take up. So it's not a game. It's not particularly easy in every sense. But it is one that ultimately leads us in freedom. So Ellul writes. So through the book of Galatians, the work of the Spirit is emphasized. And last week we read this verse, and because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So remember, Abba was the name that Jesus himself used for God. When he is praying in Gethsemane, he is praying Abba there. And Paul reminds us that we also can refer to God, Abba. We are invited to do that, and the same in Romans chapter 8. God is our Abba. We can go to him. He is there for us. As Darlene noted, we have access to God. In many generations, that was a big question. Can we have access to God? And the biblical truth is yes, we can. And God is our Abba. He is there for you. Abba, Amma. God is our parent. He's not just male, right? God is spirit. Abba, Amma. He's there for you and for me. That's the reality. He loves us in that parental way, really caring for their child. So God is with us. So in our context, if we looked at verses 16 all the way to 26, Paul emphasizes the word Spirit on seven occasions, so that's very much the focus here. Verse 16, live or walk by the Spirit. Verse 17, the flesh is opposed to the Spirit. Verse 17, what the Spirit desires. Verse 18, led by the Spirit. Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 25 again, live by the Spirit, and then once more be guided by the Spirit. Clearly, if a repetition means anything, then the word Spirit in the truth and reality of the Holy Spirit in us, a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Parent, Son, Holy Spirit for us. That's the focus of this text. So we're invited to wake up then and reflect on what does that mean? Spirit. Spirit is with us, Paul is saying. So that's where we're going. We want to reflect on the Holy Spirit and His word to us this morning. So if you look at verse 16 and 25, we have this repetition, all right? So you don't need your Bibles particularly, but if you want to kind of dig in, you'll see it. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's verse 16. Live by the Spirit. Verse 25 goes, if we live by the Spirit. So we are encouraged right off the top, we are called to live by the Spirit. What does that mean for us? Interesting that two different words are used. The first word really is walk. Walk in the Spirit. Peripateo is walk, walk about, move, roam, follow a course of life or conduct where we are walking in the Spirit. So walking, you know, is moving, is traveling. My brother just went over to Portugal, and there's a famous spiritual walk over there, the Camino, and he's walking the part of the Portuguese journey of it. He's walking, thinking, moving, hoping to visit a monastery or two. That's what he's doing, walking. So what's your walk like? That's the idea of verse 16. Verse 17, it's the word live. Has to do with breath, has to do with acting, has to do with creating. The exercise, the function of life, to be zest by vitality, to breathe Jesus in, to breathe the Spirit of God in, to breathe the Spirit out. That's live. Walk and live. So if someone says live means we are rooted in Jesus. We are rooting, breathing Him in and out. Breathing Him in. We are rooted in Him, and then walking is showing that in our day-to-day, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. So living and walking in our everyday existence. Karl Rahner's a theologian, and he'll often write, he'll just talk about in our everyday or in your everyday. What is your experience of God, Jesus, the Spirit, in your everyday? Whatever that schedule looks like, whatever that rhythm looks like, what are you like in your everyday following Jesus? The same with me, our everyday experience. So walking, being led by the Spirit is being very much aware of that, conscious of living with the Spirit every day. So it's not something that we just do on Sunday, as Lucy suggested. It's not that. It's how we live through the day. It's how we're praying for people every day, how we're being with them. That's the idea of living or walking in the Spirit. How do we do it? Well, there are the spiritual disciplines. Three of them are the Word, being in God's Word. Prayer is a conversation with God, praying, praising Him. Those are different disciplines. How you can have others. How do we engage walking and living and being reminded of the Spirit in your everyday? Because your everyday is different than mine. How are you invited to do that? So a dialogue of conversation with God. Living with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. We have a challenge, though. And the challenge is what Paul talks about when he talks about the flesh. And flesh, it's interesting. The word flesh in Greek is just, it's sarkos. The word itself is not negative. We all have flesh. You and I have flesh, right? It's our flesh that holds us together. Walking by the flesh. So in the self, in that word itself, it's neutral. Let's just say that. But for Paul, it has the idea of living the ego life, the self-centered life. So here's a nice quote. What makes the flesh so destructive is that it can become the norm by which people's lives are lived. This world, with its measure of success and its rewards for hard work, absorbs all their interest and demands their full attention. Isn't that how life works? Problem is there is no openness to God's activity, to the presence of the Spirit, to the life of the new age. The sum of things consists of what can be seen, handled, tasted, or bought. See what I mean? So when we live that last way, that last sentence, the sum of things consists of what can be seen, handled, tasted, or bought. When that is how we live our life, then we are living, according to Paul, in the flesh. Because we are not mindful of God. We are not bringing God into our day-to-day, as Ronner says, our everyday. And the reality is we all struggle with this. All of us struggle at some level with this. And so we have to be reminded, and we need each other to help remind ourselves together that there is a deeper calling than just that. I alluded last week to the Elton John movie, which I quite like. And it's interesting, at the end, though, it's going on, there's you know, some writing on the screen, and it's saying, I've done this and I've done that, and these things have worked out pretty good. But then at the end, it says, but I am as committed to buying things as I ever was. He's very wealthy, he's got lots of money, and he loves lots of stuff. There's a picture of him surrounded by his stuff. Elton John's a great musician. I don't know him personally. It's just interesting, that statement. The sum of things consists of what can be seen, handled, tasted, or bought. So we can live in such a way that we are just like living very right, very much right here in this building, and we're not going deeper in the Spirit and presence of God. So live, walk by the Spirit, number one. And as we do that, then we will demonstrate the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and there's no law against such things. Live by the fruit of the Spirit. So we can group the fruit of the Spirit in a few ways, but it all basically works around love. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful, or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. That's 1 Corinthians 13. Paul writes it another way in Colossians. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So the fruit of the Spirit is one fruit. It's love. And then it's characterized in these specific ways. We can look at it maybe this way. Godward, love, joy, peace. Joy is not bound to circumstances. Love, joy, peace. Outward, patience, tolerance, kindness, goodness. Generosity. Interesting that that word can be translated either way. NRSV, it goes, generosity, outward. And then finally, inward, faithful, gentleness, self-control. 9 goes three ways: Godward, outward, inward. I don't think we can push that triad too much, but those are the ideas. The fruit of the Spirit ultimately is love, right? Ultimately is love. The Greeks were always looking for one virtue that would tie them all together, and Paul is saying that one is love, Colossians chapter 3. Triads of characteristics. And finally, that leads us to being guided by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit, be guided by the Spirit. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. It's interesting that Paul ends this unit in those ways. Galatians was the first letter he wrote. There were a lot of difficulties, challenges within that church, so he ends the statement on the fruit of the Spirit saying, let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. Crucifying the flesh. When Paul says that, he's simply saying a strong no to your self-centered ego life. Crucify the flesh. Don't just live for yourself, how you're doing. If you're only thinking about how you're doing, then you're living by the flesh in Paul's language. What we're invited to do is to crucify that. Wow, that's pretty strong language. Crucify the flesh. Crucify the mind, the self-centered heart that only thinks about me. Me, 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 me. If we are living that way, we are not living by the fruit of the Spirit. We're invited to crucify the ego. You know, Paul had a big ego. And Paul was a very angry guy. And that's the big issue that he had to deal with. He was so caught up in persecuting the church that he set out, that was his mission. He was leading the whole deal on that. Angry, 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 angry. He had to come to terms with that. I've got to do something about my anger. I won't tell the whole story, but it's interesting. I had a student this week shared his story, and what struck me, before he becomes a Christian, for 14 years, he hated absolutely everyone other than his young son. Little guy, 4 years old. For all that time, can you imagine? He goes around the city of Toronto hating. I hate. If he was in this room, he would right away hate everybody in the room. Wow, that blew me away. How do you do that? How do you hate everyone that much? And through a whole experience, he finally comes to know God, to know Jesus. And you know what? He now has let go of that hate. And he actually loves others. Spends his time. Their church is also a mission. And they're out. This week, he was before class. He was picking up like 10 turkeys that were coming to the, bringing frozen turkeys to hand out for Thanksgiving that's coming up. A lot of hate. And we're invited to let that go and to hold on to love. Paul had that. We have our own issues. It may not be that. We're called to crucify the flesh, belong to Christ, put on the Christ-centered mind. Walk in the Spirit. Specifically, to be guided, to keep in step. If you heard sermons before, that's a bit of an unusual word, and it really means it's a military word. It's keep in step. When you see the soldiers, and they're all walking exactly in line, sometimes you'll see them in a parade. They're keeping in step. And we're invited to keep in step with the Spirit's leadership, to be led and to be guided by the Spirit. As soon as we start thinking about me and how I'm doing, I won't be so concerned about the Spirit's guidance. I'll be concerned about how I'm feeling here. But the invitation, Paul says, is to be filled with the presence of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's our invitation. So that comes to an end. Paul says all that good theological stuff. And then he says, stop competing with one another. Stop envying one another. That's not the way to go. So it's interesting, if you look at Galatians 5 a little bit farther, when it talks about the works of the flesh. It's just interesting. Chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. There's 8 items that are listed. There are 15 items that are listed, and 8 of the 15 have to do with our challenged relationships. So over half have to do with how we are getting along, one another. Strife. No, it starts with enmities. Enmities. Strife. Jealousy. Anger. Quarrels. Dissensions. Factions. Envy. I find that interesting. Over half have to do, how are we getting along? Because Paul is looking at his church and he's saying, hey, we have issues right here. We have issues right in our midst, how we get along with one another. We're not united by the Spirit, and we're not walking in Him, we have all these challenges, enmities. So if that was a first century challenge, I think it's the same today. Here for you and for me. Edward Farrell, writer I like, the speeder is always surprised when we least suspect it. He is breathing in us. He awakens us, recreates a forgotten appetite, stirs up a lost hunger and thirst, gifts us with an energy, a facility, a freedom, and unites us to the Lord to make Him with one Spirit. You ever felt that at all? We can go through dry times and be characterized by stagnation instead of generation. Not generativity, but stagnative. And then out of the blue, this can happen. The Spirit stirs up, awakens, gives us a thirst, gives us an energy, a facility to want more. And so I don't know your journey. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on. You can feel generative or you can feel stagnative. But the good news is the Holy Spirit is real and He's working in your life, in my life. He stirs things up at a very, very, very deep level, way before you're even conscious of it. You feel nothing yet. And the Spirit is already stirring up. The bubbles are already there, bubbling up. And that's the good news. If it was only up to us, none of us would persist. None of us would persevere. But the Holy Spirit rises up. The Spirit of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, rising up in us. Yay or nay? Like my class, they'll say, can I have an amen on that? The Spirit rising up. Do you want that? Do you want the Spirit rising up in your life?
Yes.
I think we do. You want God's Spirit to rise up in our hearts and our minds. Bubble up in us. Do a new work. Unthaw our hard hearts. Soften us so that we can be pliable and serve God and know Him. In Jesus' name.